flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Big breaking news on the day is that the Houston Texans of Sports Radio 610, home of the Texans fame. Houston Texans have parted ways with offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick, offensive line coach Chris Strasser, and assistant offensive line coach Cole Popovich. And so those three gentlemen will no longer be with the team. You ask now, Reggie, what about the rest of the staff? That apparently will be left up until they make a hire, which does lead the possibility that maybe there's some internal hirings, or at the very least, whoever is hired, if it's an external candidate, has the option of keeping certain people. So we'll see what ultimately happens there. And providing additional insight for that will be Jonathan M. Alexander of the Houston Chronicle. You heard him on these airwaves yesterday. We running it back. He will be back. He'll be on with The Drive
and
with Clint and Show at, I believe, about 2:20.
Yeah, at 2:20, Jonathan Alexander.
He's been killing it too, man.
Yeah, he has.
He's been on the road.
At 3:40, NFL insider James Palmer will join The Drive as well. So they're going to have you covered on this. We've got you covered on it as best we can as we're getting information. I got the bat phone in my hand right now. But what I can tell you is this latest news, this latest twist of source telling DJ Bieniemy, I think he had it first, that the rest of the offensive staff is going to be decided on when they hire a new offensive coordinator.
Correct. About 9 minutes ago.
That means
it's weird to say about and then have an exact number. My bad. 9 minutes ago.
That means that options are open, seemingly, because that means that the rest of the offensive staff has not been told, you know, we're moving on.
Right.
So that means Bill Lazor, perhaps. And I'm going to get to this in a second, real quick, before we get into the
end. Go for it.
Go
ahead and cook.
Championship games. Oh, I'm cooking, man.
All right. It doesn't work if you do that, right?
Want to see me cook? No.
Sounds like a threat.
Bill Lazor and Gerard Johnson would be at the top of the list within the staff. Now, Bill Lazor probably, if, again, my opinion, is more of a Nick Caserio guy.
Okay.
And Gerard Johnson is more of a D'Amico Ryans guy. So maybe that's the discussion they're having. And the real answer may be none of the above. I could easily see where the Texans collectively say, we need proven, and maybe even we need to change the entire system. I think D'Amico probably would fight that. I think he trusts what this West Coast style offense can do, and he's lived it his entire NFL career.
But Nick wants the Patriots way, man.
He might. That's what I'm saying. I think that is going to be a discussion that they have, and maybe
probably like, damn it, Josh McDaniels off the board.
Hey, Ben McDaniels is in the building.
Ooh, I did not realize how close you possibly could have been. Oh man,
Ben McDaniels is in the building. So yeah, who knows? I mean, there could be other options that he knows quite well. Clint Kubiak. You know,
that is a name that came up. Man, all y'all are throwing all sorts of names. Obviously, there's been a supreme thirst for Chip Kelly has come up. I mentioned Nick Caley has been a name that's come up, from L.A. Someone is talking about, obviously, Jerod Johnson is clearly in-house. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that have come up. Somebody was talking about how they really, really wish that Brian Daboll had gotten fired in New York in order to possibly have that.
Yeah.
All right, don't do no Matt Patricia. Stop that. Stop it.
I will say this, and this is 100% true. This isn't just my opinion. Clint Kubiak was going to join this staff. Remember that, Figgy? Like, I had talked to some people and understood what was going on. Clint Kubiak was going to come to Houston to be an offensive senior assistant or whatever. He's not very senior to begin with. He's a young guy. And then ended up going to the Saints. So, Clint Kubiak, Bill Lazor, Jerod Johnson, names to watch.
Okay. McCown boy come in here. He's getting some love as potential offensive coordinator situation.
That's a Nick guy.
All right. Josh McCown, who is the quarterback coach in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
That is a name. I know that his name also came up with Jerod Johnson for the possibility of joining Andre Glenn in New York. So Aaron Glenn. Goodness gracious, man. What am I doing?
Hey, salute to Andre Glenn, wherever you are.
If you're an Andre Glenn out there, go ahead and salute. Text the line 713-572-4610. All right, let's get into championship weekend that's happening come Sunday. You've got championship games going on between the Commanders and Eagles in the NFC, and of course the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills in the AFC. I got four things to watch for in each of those games. Where would you like to start?
I want to go to the NFC first. I think it's very intriguing. The headliner we know is Chiefs and Bills, but I think it's a very intriguing game.
Yeah, so here are the four things to watch, and of course, some of the things that we're looking at in these games. One, how high can Jaden Daniels' star rise? Clearly, the Commanders go as far as he goes. And that means a lot when you say that for a rookie quarterback, because I think it was Vic Fangio who said this week that He is a rookie quarterback by birth certificate only,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that, he has played well above the expectation a reasonable expectation of a rookie quarterback. He's been cool, calm, collected. Pressure has not been something that you can even really foist upon him. And mm-hmm. I think that becomes a huge deal in this game because the Eagles have not done a great job with pressure. In fact, the only team that's really been able to really affect pressure on him and actually bring him down, because that's really the only way mm-hmm. that you really make him feel the point of pressure, is the Cowboys, because of the speed that Micah Parsons has. And the Eagles don't quite have that with their pass rush. So that might be something to watch, is Jaden Daniels going to just be able to be comfortable in that space and really dice up in this Cliff Kingsbury offense? It's been really good. I know someone earlier was like, well, go get Cliff Kingsbury. He's an offensive coordinator already.
Yeah.
So there are rules where if there's a lateral move, the team that has the coach would have to be willing to open that.
They would.
And I feel very strongly that they would.
I feel very strongly too.
But yeah, the idea of Jaden Daniels being the star in this.
You know, and I heard the boys this morning talking about this, and the implication that they were making, and it's not a bad one, is the clock finally going to strike midnight, you know, with Jaden Daniels? And I got to tell you, I don't see that happening.
That brother playing smooth.
He's playing great. But also, this is just kind of one of those things that I kind of hold as a truism.
You would think it would, right?
At some point, a rookie is going to look like a rookie.
Okay, it's getting kind of late.
Yes, it is.
And the crazy thing, we were saying that last season CJ Stroud.
That's right.
We're going to get to a point, man, rookie could take his team to a Super Bowl and win it, man.
We might be at that point.
It might not have no rookie mistakes.
The Commanders might lose. But he's going to play his ass off, I can promise you that, and the clock will not strike midnight. They might lose because the Eagles are dang good, but that ain't going to be the reason.
So the second part of this NFC game, Eagles defense seeking to continue their dominance, the number one defense in order, they want to be really good and punch their ticket to the Super Bowl. Eagles have seen a complete turnaround of their unit from last season to this one, going from 30th when it comes to scoring defense, and 31st in passing yards allowed. Now they're number one in total defense, second in scoring defense, first in passing yards allowed. And, of course, that lines up in a way that's kind of interesting with this Washington Commanders mm-hmm. team. Vic Fangio has done a great job coming in. And, of course, the pass rush with Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, the guys I was talking about, they're going to have a tough time, not necessarily with the offensive line itself, but making sure to bring down Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
This is going to fall a lot on Darius Slay, Quinyon Mitchell, even Cooper DeJean involved there in trying to keep track of Terry McLaurin and Dyami Brown. Like if they can keep those things in the secondary, maybe have coverage mm-hmm. Pressure that and be able to get those guys to Jaden Daniels, because there aren't things that are open down the field.
See, that's going to be the story. Like I said, they might beat the Commanders. In fact, they're favored to beat the Commanders. But that's going to be how they do it. If they do have enough success in coverage and certainly finding some semblance of success rushing him.
All right, so here are the big ones. I'm going to pair these two together when it comes down to the big things to watch in this NFC Championship game. The Commanders' leaky run defense facing a big-time running back and the Eagles' passing game. Mm-hmm. Which of those do you feel like is most important?
You know which one.
Saquon.
Oh, my God.
Saquon.
You know which one.
Saquon. In fact, the offense, and that I think I pair these together because the Eagles' offense has just been carried by Saquon. It is really a throwback effect because how long has it been since you just had an offense that goes, we are running back heavy, and we are just going to run behind this really good offensive line and this really good running back, and you know what's coming. We know what's coming. You ain't got nothing you can do.
They got A.J. Brown pissed off.
Yeah.
You're like, man, I ain't getting the ball.
Although A.J. Brown and I believe also Amari Cooper both said this week, interestingly enough, it's just about winning. Like, whatever the targets are, it's all
y'all
good.
Y'all in the championship round. It's got to be about winning.
That's right. But yeah, man, is this passing game going to show up? Jalen Hurts looks like he will play. He's been practicing this week. Obviously, he has that kind of knee injury that they've been watching out for. But you can run the football, and the Commanders' defense has not been very good against the run. But also, you would still like to be able to throw the football.
Yeah.
And is that going to come along? Because that's been a big question for this Eagles team all the way across the season.
You know, look, I think it's going to be a question going into the Super Bowl if they win. They're going to get a heavy dose of Saquon. They're going to be 25, 30 carries.
Right. Why
not?
Why make it harder than it needs to be?
Yeah. Well, we got to get him some touches. No, you really don't.
Oh, so you're going to be the old school and the old school quarterback.
It's like, look, watch their games.
When you throw the football, three things can happen.
No,
two of them are bad.
God, no, I want to see a passing game as much as anybody else, but good Lord, that's Saquon Barkley out there.
And he's been very good. He's been very good. So those are the things we're watching in that game. How about the AFC Championship game, where I know where a lot of people are rooting under the sound of my voice? The Buffalo Bills going to Arrowhead to face off against the Kansas City Chiefs. Number one, first and foremost, do the Chiefs dare to blitz Josh Allen this time? Remember, both of these games are rematches. Obviously the division matchups that happened between the Eagles and the Commanders, they split them, right? And then now you have this game where that's the one loss the Kansas City Chiefs had was against the Buffalo Bills. And in the first time, the Chiefs really, you know, tried to go and get after Josh Allen, and that's probably a fool's errand when you look at just how big he is. They blitzed at a rate of 35.8%. this season, and they did it at a higher rate, 37.8% against Josh Allen. Josh Allen had one interception versus pressure in that game, but otherwise, he was just out there being a menace.
I got to believe Steve Spagnuolo, this is a true pick-your-spots kind of thing. It's not going to be like, oh, they're really bringing the pressure today. No, I think it's going to be certain situations, maybe if they get a lead, to try to make him get the ball rid of the ball quicker, that type thing. You can't win just consistently blitzing him.
No, and I don't think so. It feels like you're just going to have to, force him to make good decisions, which he's done a much better job at. Although, do you see the moment last week where it looked like Josh Allen was like, he was, you know, kind of corralled, and it really looked like he wanted to lateral that football again?
Oh, he said he would. He said the younger me would have.
You saw that lizard brain moment for him. I like to call it a bozo moment, with all due respect, where it's just in that moment you're like, and all of a sudden here he is, like throwing a 40-yard pass down the field to a fullback. He's like, you know what I mean?
But the lateral was funny. He's like, yeah, the younger me would have done it. I'm like, yeah, your older you was pretty damn close.
That's right. Very, very close. But he didn't. And that's what we call growth. Yeah. All right. Another thing that we're watching in this AFC Championship game, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs trying to continue their ball control success.
Yeah.
I don't know what the word was I just said. That is crazy.
We all believe in you.
Some of us do. But yeah, man, they've been good at just kind of controlling the football. They don't turn the football over. In fact, the last time they did that, can you guess? Week 11? Buffalo Bills.
They
were good, really good down the stretch in not turning the football. Remember that stat came up when you played against Kansas City. They've been very good at that. Are they going to be able to maintain that and just kind of keep the ball and, you know, not give extra possessions to the opponent for an offense that has been solid but not necessarily incredible of the Chiefs? I mean, we saw that up close and personal. It took them a while to get it revved up. Just kind of making sure that you don't turn the football over. Do you think they're capable of handling that?
I think they are, because I think their game plan is going to be very, very, very much like an underdog at home. You know, a little more on the conservative side. You know, trying to get Travis Kelce, keep Travis Kelce going, coming off the Texans' performance that he had. I think Patrick Mahomes is not going to be too crazy. Maybe some Patrick Mahomes runs. I think the Chiefs are going to play it kind of conservative.
Patrick Mahomes, no rushes in the first time that these two teams matched up. So, yeah, maybe him using his legs you know, is something that they might add in. Third thing to watch for in this AFC Championship game, how will the Chiefs defend the Bills' other playmakers? Because that's one thing about the Bills. It's kind of a complete opposite of the Texans when they faced this Chiefs team just a week ago, where the Texans had the one guy as a wide receiver that was going, one pass catcher really, that was going to threaten that Chiefs team, and that was Nico Collins. And luckily for the Chiefs, they got one guy that's going to be a lockdown guy in Trent McDuffie. That's not really how the Bills operate. They are kind of like the Chiefs, what we were talking about with the Chiefs. They have a whole bunch of dudes that they can spread the ball out to, whether it's Amari Cooper, who we'll see if he gets back involved, but Khalil Shakir. They have other guys that they spread
the
ball out to.
Shakir has come into his own.
He really has.
He really has.
Also, they trust giving the ball and running the ball with James Cook and, you know, getting Ray Davis and Ty Johnson involved. Like, they just kind of spread this thing out. And the Chiefs are going to have an interesting chance, and this might be why they don't blitz a lot, because they've got a lot of guys to cover, and you don't necessarily know that one of them is going to be locked in on by Josh Allen. And finally, who else will step up for Kansas City besides Travis Kelce?
All I know is the Bills have got to do everything they can to keep Travis Kelce from getting going.
Yeah.
I mean, the Texans obviously dropped the ball on that big time. And he had his coming out game, so to speak, for the season.
He was
they cannot let Travis Kelce get going.
Yeah, I think for me personally, I've got Eagles and I've got Bills. I think the Bills can do it, especially because like they'll run the ball well. They've been running the ball incredibly. The Chiefs have been kind of so-so on run defense. Plus, remember one of the things we were hoping that Dalton Schultz can maybe affect, because the Chiefs have not done a great job of defending tight ends. Don't the Bills got a tight end that's pretty good?
They do. A couple of them. I've got Bills and Commanders.
Oh, okay. All right.
Where'd they win last week?
Who, the Commander Tampa?
No, Detroit.
Oh, it was Detroit. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. I went back.
Maybe
a
the toughest
weeks.
Place to play in the NFL.
They throw batteries in Detroit?
I don't think Jaden Daniels is going to be all that shaken up.
We'll see how those things the fallout is from championship weekend, best weekend of the NFL. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Right now, caller number 4 will win a 4-pack of tickets to the Houston Automotive Show, which is happening January 29th to February 2nd at NRG Center. Caller number 4 right now to 713-572-4610. We'll get those tickets. And coming up next, it's time to hand it over to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. Fig, what you got?
Man, so we talked about it in the confessions, Ron versus Dirty Red. Well, we about to get more into this.
All right.
Man.
We're going to break it down, the drive fight. It'll come up next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Fig's in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Friday. Happy Friday to everyone out there. Ready for the weekend. And yesterday, I was listening to The Drive with Ron Nutshow Hughley.
Show.
And Clint Sterner. And shout, big shout out to T-Mill.
Who always.
Keep the, oh, yeah.
Who tried to keep those guys together.
He was laughing his butt
off.
He
usually do a good job keeping these guys together, but I think he had to sit back and just let them box it out a little bit. So yesterday, this was during T-Mill's segment, turd segment.
Yeah.
T-Mill's turds.
Turds of the week.
Turds of the week, yes.
I said the turd segment.
So this was during turds of the week, and T-Mill decided to give the referees in the Kansas City Chiefs game versus the Texans the silver turd.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron kind of didn't, he kind of didn't like the way this was going. I think he was perfectly fine with it, but I think what kind of ticked Ron off a little bit was Clint pretty much said Patrick Mahomes is the biggest flopper in the NFL.
Yeah. The floppiest man in all the land.
He said he's the biggest flopper. Ron disagreed. He said everybody flops. So you point at one guy, but everybody flops.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how it started.
You're gonna sit here and try to sell that those two don't flop more than anybody else.
They don't.
And aren't more egregious.
No.
Well, the whole league flops.
Where the James difference? James Harden flops less than LeBron?
No, but where the difference
is that what you're saying?
On the football side, he's a quarterback.
Is that what you're saying? Another thing, who do you see the most?
I'm saying,
who do you see the most?
That's fine. You can say that it's talked about the most.
Silver medal's getting wild.
But at the end of the day, they're damn sure LeBron. I mean, there ain't no. I mean, I'm a casual fan, and I have no. I like greatness. I like watching it. There is no question when you watch LeBron James, he constantly flops more than anybody that I watch. I watched the whole game last night. I didn't see one guy do it.
Entire league plays.
I disagree.
Entire league. I watch it every night.
Oh no! The entire league is extremely soft. They flop. They do, but nobody does it better than LeBron James.
Now, why this was so funny to me, because if you didn't know, Sho is the biggest LeBron fan.
Yes.
He loves LeBron. So not only did you bring up your quarterback for the Chiefs,
he was fighting a two-front war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. They said, he's just like LeBron James, the biggest flopper in the league.
Yeah.
And
I also don't agree that LeBron James is the biggest flopper in the league, but
he's
I understand.
He's up there, but that's neither here nor there.
So this is part two of it. And Ron decided to, I'm a bring feelings up in this, man, because clearly he feel like Clint has a feeling. He had feelings about this.
Mm-hmm.
And so he used the magic word. Remember that word, feelings.
Yeah.
These are your feelings.
Well, I have none.
Well, I'm just I feel like LeBron is the one that does this, or Mahomes does this more than anybody else. It's not actually factual. Everybody does it. Everybody flops. Everybody sales calls. I'm sorry. You're gold.
No,
medal.
You're good.
You're gold medal.
To put
something
like,
to jump
like you pushing Mahomes doesn't flop and does more than
now
others.
You just made this. I didn't say
you
that.
You just made an excuse for Mahomes flopping.
I said the league flops.
No.
I said the whole league flops.
Well, yes, the whole league flops. Okay, the
go
whole
find
league
Josh
flops.
Allen. Go the, find Josh.
Right, Josh does it too.
Man, this is the
Josh
best
does it
too.
He does it more than anybody.
Josh, you're nuts.
Josh,
you just had a guy. Pat just apologized for doing it on the sideline and
Clint,
was embarrassed about it.
You're trying. This is what you guys do. I didn't say he didn't. I didn't say
you
that.
Guys.
I didn't say he didn't.
Oh, you don't get to do that. Press pause. You don't get to do the you guys, Mr. You people. No, I refuse.
This is what you guys do?
No, you don't get to talk to nobody about that, Lopez.
Hey, get a little rough after that.
What?
Just keep an eye on this.
Quarterbacks are selling calls.
And I'm telling you that Pat Mahomes does it more than anybody. We just watched a playoff game, and everybody in America is talking about it.
You're talking about the one there. Yes, you keep referencing that one. There are millions of other players doing it.
Millions?
Everybody does it. Everybody. You just can't come to terms with it and just say, hey, he flops.
I did
It
say
is
that.
What it is.
It is what it is. But, so it got a little chippy there. And this clip, remember that word, feelings.
Yeah.
Ron had to bring it back up.
Oh no.
Man.
Cool. Listen, you can get into and have what your feel is and what you see.
Feel.
You are. It is your feel. There's no way. Josh Allen flops his word. You get the hell out of here.
They all
flop. I know
flop.
They do. That's what I'm saying. They're adding that Mahomes flops more than anybody else.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, he doesn't.
And your response is, everybody flops. He does it. Everybody flops.
He does.
No, he just had to apologize for it.
Yeah, he apologized. Yes, the one play that he did it, that the last play he did it. That does just because Josh hasn't apologized for it doesn't mean he doesn't flop. Or just because offensive linemen do it doesn't mean he doesn't flop. It's your feelings. And you see him more. It is. You feel like you see Mahomes flop more than anybody else. You do. It's not accurate. Just like you feel the Chiefs get more calls than anybody else. It's not accurate. Just like you feel.
That's absolutely nuts.
Now, by the way, they totally hijacked Tyler's segment.
Oh, yeah. Tyler didn't sound like mad about it.
Oh, they went up against the clock. Hey,
the music was off.
Yeah.
It was like 56 on the clock. It was over.
Tyler was good. Well, you heard him. He was like, this is the best turds ever.
Yeah. So they ended the segment, and Clint had his segment coming up at the top of the hour.
Oh, no.
Oh, Dirty's.
Dirty's doesn't. And you thought it was over?
Nope.
Absolutely not.
I don't think it's over.
I think I'm going to take my gloves off with y'all.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on.
Take them off, man.
Look, I'm being honest.
It's not your fault the team you're a fan of has the benefit of the doubt from the refs, ultimately.
Sure. As I said, you have no data to back that up. You feel that way, and that's fine. But hey, my team's playing next week.
Oh, we're going there.
Damn it. That was the uppercut to the crotch.
Enjoy it while on vacation.
Somebody flopping. You talk about LeBron and Pat got his feelings, didn't he?
Ain't in my feelings. My team playing Sunday.
Again?
I've been crying all week. From the top down. Feel like we got the better team.
Damn, y'all got so into that debate, I didn't even get my gold turd trophy.
12 points. One day, y'all just don't admit. Y'all just weren't good enough.
The problem with that is, and not to be that guy, but there.
Oh, here he goes, being that guy.
There is data. There are stats. There is data.
Yeah,
that says he and they get much better treatment in the postseason.
Yeah, so and this is the last clip right here, and they really start going at it right here. And at the very end, Clint tried to do a Reggie transition. Or what you call those?
Segway?
Segway, yeah. He tried to do a Reggie Segway, and it kind of got me cracking up a little bit.
I had no idea that you would sit here straight-faced and not just say, hey, they both flop, and they benefit from it. Let's move on.
Did I say that, Tyler?
No, you bring other players into Round the fold two, instead I of just talking about the topic at hand.
Tyler's messing.
That's not the point. The point is very clear. You can't bring anybody else in the conversation. They flop better and more often than anybody else in the game.
And so when you say, Clint, they flop more than anyone else, then Clint... Oh. The response to that would be, no, they don't.
I don't like
others
that.
Flop just as much as they do.
LeBron James is the best of them all. They all flop. LeBron James flops and benefits from it better, as good as anybody I've ever seen play the game.
And you want them to lose.
And I don't want either. I don't have anything. I don't have any reason for them to lose. I don't care either way it goes.
You don't sound like it.
Oh, no, your sensitive ass don't want to hear it that way.
I'm not sensitive.
We're talking about flopping, and now all of a sudden, I don't want Pat to win another championship. Hold on.
But this is my thing, too. As you sound like a listener and caller. Your ass is rolling. Your ass is dead red, screaming and talking loud.
Yeah. I'm having a heated, passionate conversation about it.
So don't call me sensitive. Hell, your ass.
I am sensitive.
Okay, well, don't come and say, hey, Ron, you being sensitive. Your ass is
dead sensitive.
All you Texans is being sensitive.
All right.
What do you want to talk about?
If you're just now joining us, Dead Red is over here talking about another
Dead
Red.
Wait for the segue.
Greg Grissom, Texans team president. Did not mean for that to come out that way, by the way.
Oh. Yeah, I was like,
did you hear that segue?
Oh.
What did he say?
That
was just a little.
I'm going to play it again. Hold on.
What do you talk about?
If you're just now joining us, Dead Red is over here talking about another Dead Red.
Oh, God. That's what Greg Grissom.
Texans team president. Did not mean for that to come out that way.
Yeah, I hope not. Oh, man.
How did y'all feel about that whole reaction?
I don't know.
Man.
I'm still figuring it out myself. I am. But now, I do appreciate that they took the natural the natural kind of arc of an argument, right? Because that was an argument. Sometimes, that was an argument, which is fine. It was all good, man. That's sports talk. Sports get you to that place sometimes when you have arguments with your boys, people that you love, and all those things. Like, you're arguing the point.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you might find yourself in a little bit of like a rut.
Then all of a sudden.
Where we have our ideas, and then all of a sudden, now we're not talking about the point at all.
No, your ass sensitive.
No, you.
Your ass is sensitive.
I'm not, you are.
Now, I got to say, as far as the LeBron James flopping thing, I feel like LeBron have to flop at some point because he's so strong and he wouldn't get a lot of the calls that he do get just for being so strong because he kind of went through that as a rookie. So I kind of understand why somebody like that would flop.
Here's the other
I think
point.
There's significantly more floppers in the NBA, but that's neither here nor there. I don't actually want to get down into that point. Yeah. That's
well, here's what I was going to say. Don't even bring up LeBron, in, as far as I'm concerned. Basketball's a different... I mean, teach flopping.
Yeah.
You coach flopping.
That's part of the game.
They coach flopping.
Yeah.
Football in the NFL, there's not a lot of flopping.
At the quarterback, it's one of the reasons why people got so damn mad about the Aziz hit is that quarterbacks are getting to a place where they are bending, or not bending, but they're working on the edges of that rule.
Yeah,
of
but
being
it's still not a lot. And my favorite thing of all... of this whole conversation about flopping and Patrick Mahomes and other players and all that other stuff, these are the same people. And I hate that term, but it really is.
No, you don't.
These are the same people that are like, soccer, all they do is fake injuries and flop. Well, that's the story in the NFL right now, boys. That's the story in the NFL.
Yeah, I think the main thing, because I do think a lot of people flop more than what we think in the NFL.
Yeah.
But I think the main story is quarterbacks taking advantage of this type of stuff by flopping, getting the 15-yard penalty, extending the drive for people like Patrick Mahomes and stuff like that. Yeah. And then they're not calling it for other quarterbacks and little stuff like that. So I think Patrick Mahomes is the guy that kind of perfected a little bit in taking advantage of the rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm neither here nor there, but that was the argument that was had. And at the very least, I shout out to Paul that a conflict and everything makes great radio.
Yeah, it does.
Your ass is sensitive.
No, you are.
Your ass is sensitive.
I love it, man. Them boys is putting on my show. They do it every time, and they'll do it again today. The drive. In fact, it's a great drive that's set up. Oh, Ron, you want to? Sorry. Show, would you like to speak for yourself? Because I was just about to tease and talk about how y'all are having some great guests today.
I used some great restraint last night.
Whoa!
Oh, wow.
I did.
That was restrained?
I used some. It was.
Woo! We can fix that.
No, don't. You're stirring. You're stirring excrement there. I don't like what you're doing there.
You're stirring the gumbo.
That's right. Well, I don't know if gumbo is what I was talking about, but make sure you listen to Drive. You'll hear stuff like that. But more importantly, Jonathan Alexander will join at 2:20 to further discuss the parting of ways between the Texans and Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator. And then Jesse Palmer will join, I believe, 3:40 was the time. So, a fantastic show set up for Friday. Ain't no news dump around here. We give you coverage of all of that. But, yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we get ready to mix with those dudes. Plus, I don't know, do we need to draft the weekend?
We'll do a little bit of everything, but definitely more Slowick.
All right, we'll do that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Don't call me sensitive. Hell, your ass
is sensitive.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Any chance that that's what it sounded like at NRG Stadium when we got the news of the
day? I mean, I guess, maybe. I don't know. I doubt it, but.
I sure hope not.
Was Bobby Slowick like, no, don't call me sensitive. Your ass is sensitive.
Right. Just a wildly interesting day that's only going to continue to get more interesting on the day. Maybe not from the news itself, but the breakout, breaking it all
maybe.
Down.
You don't write it off.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. But yeah, man, a lot of Texans news happening over the last couple of days. Greg Grissom, who is the long time, team president for the last 4 years, but a long time, man involved with
he was a Texans lifer.
Texans lifer. Parted ways with the organization yesterday. That's more of an executive kind of business side of it. But on the football side of it, Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator, Chris Strasser, offensive line coach, and Cole. Gosh, I had this all day, and I wouldn't miss it.
Popovich.
Thank you. The assistant offensive line coach. All three of them have been relieved of their duties. So, man, the Texans are in that place where now they are looking for an offensive coordinator and, of course, offensive line coach and such. And the rest of the staff, the likes of Gerard Mayo, quarterbacks coach, Bill Lazor, special assistant, other offensive assistants as well, they remain in place for the time being, according to DJ Bieniemy of ESPN. They'll remain in place until the hiring of another offensive coordinator, whether that's internal or external. I imagine that's part of it, why the possibility of an internal hire exists there. And then we'll go from there. Seems like some people in the national media are maybe even saying that the Slowick firing has some with some level of input to do with CJ Stroud.
I haven't seen any particular NFL writers that I follow allude to that, but I do think I do think it signals something. It signals don't read into this. Oh, they're picking the offensive lineman over Bobby Slowick. Because I hope not also, and I still think that there's going to be some changes on the offensive line. I think what it does signal is this is CJ Stroud on a rookie contract, man. We've got to do everything we can to, number one, you know, make him play, help him play the best that he can and be what we've seen in the past. But number two, make sure his voice is heard.
Yeah.
Make sure that he has input. He's the guy that's out there getting whipped occasionally, and make sure that he has input. Has that relationship. And I'm not saying, oh, he hated Bobby Slowick. He was complimentary of Bobby Slowick, respectful. I think he liked him. But I think it's fair to wonder if he really had that kind of relationship. Like, hey, what if we do this and it's coming to a play and it's landing on ears that are receptive?
From the 281, was this what Mixon said Nick had cooking? All right. How much do you think, and I know that you've said that you believe this to be collaborative, I'm going to force you into a place that's probably not fair, but that's what we call radio. How much do you think the Nick Caserio had involved in this decision-making process? Because I know one of the big things we talked about, I know you talked about how there's a non-0% chance that there was a level of agreement at the very least from the very top of this from the ownership group. Beyond that, obviously we talked about how much this means from a D'Amico Ryan standpoint, having that's his boy.
That was his first call
when he got this job. Clearly mattered a good amount to have Bobby Slowick here on the ride with him. Like, that clearly is a large part of the decision as well. Like, how do you kind of break down the portions of making this decision?
I feel this does not happen, again, to paraphrase D'Amico Ryan's, everybody, when I say everybody, I mean everybody was in on this decision. And that probably explains why it took 5 days.
Because all of the factors and all the people involved.
This doesn't happen without Cal and Hannah being integral at some level.
Sure.
You know, it just doesn't. Whether it was D'Amico's idea, which I doubt it was, although he was probably receptive to it, or Nick Caserio's idea or their idea. But specifically, if someone came to them and said, hey, we're thinking about making a move at the offensive coordinator position, doesn't happen unless they're on board. And
really, I figure that's more of a head coach type feel.
It would be normally, right?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it doesn't.
Okay.
All right. I'm telling you.
Where's your source for that?
Not me. I think.
Trust me, bro. There it is.
I think they understand. And I'll put it this way. I said it earlier. I think the McNairs are very good at knowing just when they need to step in. And I think we have an example of that. Wasn't Kevin O'Connell, or I forget who, that was like the heavy reported favorite to be, you know, Nick Caserio's guy to be the next head coach?
I think it was Steichen, right?
It might have been Steichen. I forget. But like there were a couple.
Oh, no, you know what? It wasn't Steichen. It was the guy that's in Arizona now.
Gannon?
Yeah, I think Gannon was at one point.
But my Steichen. Point is this. I think there were serious reports, reputable reports. Other guys were going to be favored to get this Texans job. At that point, the McNair stepped in and said, no, we need to talk to D'Amico. And so they picked their spot on when it was time for the owners to, you know, to step in. I think it's probably the same thing that happened here. Like, they're seeing what's happening on the field. They're getting information. They go to practices. They understand what the offense is doing and more importantly, what it's not doing, what the dynamic between CJ Stroud and Bobby Slowick is. Again, not necessarily bad, but maybe not necessarily two way. You know what I mean? And they might, I think if I had to guess, I would say they finally picked a spot and said, hey, let's talk about the offensive coordinator. And when the owners say, let's talk about the offensive coordinator, that's normally not going to end well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now the job becomes for the entirety of the brain trust that has to make this decision. And A32 said, why is no one giving Nick his flowers on the Texans making this move? I mean, I think that he's a part of the brain trust and everything. And that, as you were just saying, Lopez, this was a week long endeavor. And I imagine that was all part of that conversation. Also, that takes me back to Monday with that very short response that D'Amico gave when it came to Bobby Slowick. Mm-hmm. This feels like hey, man, that felt like that was somewhat revelatory. Mm-hmm. But now the job becomes for that entire brain trust to determine who is the next person for the job. But before you determine who is the next person, you got to know what you're looking for. Just, I mean, as a preliminary thought process, because I imagine that's going to be a big conversation over the weekend and on Monday, unless they go move quickly, which would be even more interesting and probably be pretty telling on this entire week. But what for you is like the first or first few things that comes to mind on what you absolutely would like to and must see in the next offensive coordinator of this team?
I think they're going to stay with some semblance of this West Coast Shanahan Kubiak style of offense. I think it's been good to DeMeco Ryans from in his career, from a player to a defensive coordinator. He understands it. He's seen it, and he knows that it works. And I think it's telling that Bill Lazor, who is the senior offensive assistant here, and Gerard Johnson, quarterback's coach, have not been fired.
Correct.
Or have not yet heard, or however you want to put it.
Well, I mean, again, according to the reporting, DJ Bieniemy, good at his job, said that the remainder of the staff will remain in place until a new offensive coordinator is hired. And I imagine that is to give that new offensive coordinator the opportunity to make those decisions, especially if it's an internal one. And I imagine that there's a level of familiarity with all the folks, you know, there.
Yeah. So keep an eye on those two. Keep an eye on Clint Kubiak. Clint Kubiak was about and had verbally agreed to take a job here with the Texans, and then ended up going to New Orleans. And so Clint Kubiak may well, get that job. Keep an eye on him. And then there's certain others that have been mentioned, but I would start with those three. And I would say that DeMeco Ryans does like this style of offense, and he doesn't like the way it's been working.
From the 713, if they stay with the style of offense, I won't be watching. I can't after the same style of offense for 2.5 damn decades. That's not quite what's happening there. And then two, this same style of offense is the one that
wins Super Bowls.
Yeah, the Rams, the Niners, the Dolphins. I mean, to various different degrees. But this is the one that has permeated the league and that has become the new hotness.
Yeah.
So the particular iteration that you saw from the Texans over the last couple of years, I understand why you would have some frustration. But I don't know that you can completely blame the entirety of this tree of offense. Yeah. From the 281, isn't Steichen supposed to be a quarterback guru? Yeah, sure, but he's still got a head coaching job. I don't know that that's going to go the way that you want. From another 832, how do y'all feel about Ryan Day? Like, he is the coach of Ohio State University.
Yes, he is.
And I don't know
what in the world is he going to do.
What about Chip?
Chip is the one that comes up, though. Like, he is a dude who obviously has head coaching experience in the NFL, has been a innovator at times in his career. Currently the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. I don't know why you leave that cushy situation where you know you're going to have a whole bunch of talent to go to the pros, but obviously there's connection with him and DeMeco Ryans. DeMeco was his head coach at one point in Philadelphia. DeMeco even gave him praise when he was being introduced as the Houston Texans head coach about the innovations that he had and being on the cutting edge of player, what's the right word? Like health, I guess, in that when using technologies in those ways. So, yeah, those are all things. I imagine this weekend going to be a lot of digging into the various different possibilities when it comes to offensive coordinator, as Bobby Slowick, no longer here with the Houston Texans. The folks who are here, fellas.
I tell you what.
Show and Clint of the Drive. Fellas, what's it looking like? How you doing?
Oh, we got a little action.
Yeah, we do.
We got a little action. We got two stories of volleyball back and forth with.
Mm-hmm.
Got somebody playing left field.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. I forgot that we started the show talking about the possibility of Alex Bregman coming back and Jose Altuve supposedly raising his hand and saying that he would go play left.
Like how my man ball. Spencer Agetti came out with laughter when they asked him that question. he said, who told you that? Spencer came out like, who told Bob Nightingale?
Yeah.
And then he said, okay, all right, crazier things have happened.
You think Spencer's got Bob Nightingale?
Nah. I don't think he's got Bobby.
Oh, really?
I think he's maybe seen the name. I don't think he's got Bobby. Because if he got Bobby, Bobby may catch you off guard. I'll never forget that time Bobby walked up to us with them two chains. And he had that pinky ring and he was two buttons down. And my man.
Fresh off of vodka tonic.
He said he drink vodka, a little splash of tonic. That's his drink.
Was it vodka?
No, he said a splash, a little splash. That's old hotel Bobby. But no, man, this big news. And of course, we're going to talk about it. And we're going to have, as you said, Jonathan Alexander, who was on yesterday, and listen.
Real good, too, on with you.
Well, listen, I can't wait to hear from Jonathan because literally off the air when Jonathan was walking out, he was like, yeah, I think he'll be back. And Jonathan just did a deep dive within the organization.
He sure did.
And he, you know, him saying that, I'm like, wow, okay. I wonder how surprised he is from what he did. James Palmer, he'll join the show in the 3 o'clock hour, get maybe a little national perspective from it. All I know is Ostrowser and Slowik, that better not be it. That better not be it. They had some help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good tease forward to this. You guys got a great show coming up. Just to be a little messy, but trying not to be messy, but being a little messy. We good here, fellas? We good?
No, I wasn't going to talk to this guy today until Slowik got
okay. All right.
Now I don't have a choice.
All right, well, that sounds like we good.
Look, he got his hair cut, came in here all dressed up.
Y'all both got the hair done.
Trying to win me over, man.
Y'all look like y'all ready to make up. You got your hair slicked back, too. I feel like we're ready to go.
We go to dinner. We were at the Post, though. We got free rooms over here. You never know.
Okay, I like that.
Hey, it's just emotional in the moment, baby.
That's all it is. It's always love.
It's sports talk. He ain't talking about my kids.
That's true. That is true. I didn't hear nothing like that. And I know he's a family man. Y'all both family, man. We going to make it work.
Although LeBron is close.
He is. My godson last night.
That's fair.
Shot one off the side of the backboard. Shout out to Tyler. I didn't believe in the Lakers last night. Tyler had them, made some money.
He sure did.
And they was in there whooping that ass.
The heater continues.
Tyler made some money.
He did.
So we got Tyler.
You did too.
Money.
You went on Bam. Bam had 14 rebounds.
All right, I feel like I'm in the middle of something. Let me go ahead and clear out. Here we go.
Tyler!
Oh, no.
Tyler!
Oh, no. You're listening to KILT-AM, KILT-FM, HD2 Houston, and Odyssey Sports Station. They got some things that they need to clear up. I'm out the way. Y'all have a wonderful weekend. And right now, the drive is live.